Praise the Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Wow, things are happening around this place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Just for Russell's benefit. Praise the Lord. If you've been contributing to our children's work in Philippines, it's continually growing. We had another $30 come in last week for that, two envelopes. So just to let you know, whoever put it in, we appreciate it. Thank you. That's gone into the children's account. And there's a girl who doesn't come to this church at all, but every month she puts $100 in for the children. As soon as she gets her monthly salary, that money goes in every month. So it's gradually building up, and we'll be to the place where we're able to do what God has told us to do. Today I want to talk to you about what I've called keys for a winning life. You know, over the years we've done this key and that key and three keys for this and four steps for that. But I've just called this keys for a winning life. And what I want you to get a hold of as we start today, and Russell's already alluded to it, is this, that you will either rise or fall to the level of your words. Whatever you say, you will come up to that or go down to that, because there's death and there's life in the power of your tongue. Proverbs tells us that. Death and life in the power of your tongue. Whatever you say is going to happen. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, I'll just read this quickly to you, Hebrews 11, 3, interesting little verse. We've looked at Hebrews a lot over the time, but in Hebrews 11, 3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Framed means arranged and set in order. So the worlds were arranged and set in order by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now God put it all in order by his words. But listen to me. You keep it in order by your words. He's given that responsibility to you and to me. Your words control your life. Your words control where you're going, what you're doing. Your words control how you're going financially, because if you're a giver, the Bible says when we give, we ought to confess over that giving, as we do on the screen every Sunday. And we need to be careful about the words that we say, because there is death and life in the words. And it's in your tongue for you. It's not in my tongue for you. So it's your words that determine where you're going. And as Christians, our confession or our words should be what the Bible says. We should be saying what the book says. Now, it's not just having a positive affirmation, if you like. I've heard ministries use that phrase, a positive affirmation. Or I've heard people say, well, we have to be positive. It's nothing to do with that. It's because, you know, some people are positively negative. It's saying what the word says. What does God have to say? It's agreeing with God. It's homologeo. It's saying the same thing that God says. And we're not talking about confessing sin. That's not what this message is about. You ought to have already done that and taken care of that. That should already be dealt with. But you know, I found it's possible, for me anyway, to tell where a person is and if they're believing right by what they say. We've been doing this for 40 plus years. And we've talked to a lot of people. And, you know, it's interesting that many times people will come to us and say, oh, I shouldn't say that. No, you shouldn't. At least not in front of me. But you shouldn't say it at all. There are some things that you ought not to say. So it's not a question of saying positive things or trying to be positive. We need to be saying what the book says. Saying what does God say? Turn to Hebrews chapter 4 with me, and let's just look at several verses here. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Just let me turn there. I was in the wrong chapter. Okay, here we are. Hebrews chapter 4. I want to start reading to you from verse 9. It says, there remains a rest for the people of God. Now, are there any people of God in church today? Okay, there is a rest. So if you're the people of God, then you should be having a rest. And that doesn't mean to say that you just lie down and be lazy. It means to be at peace. Verse 10, for he who has entered his rest, that's talking about Jesus, has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. I don't know if you understand this, but when Jesus went back to heaven, he sat down. He doesn't have anything else to do. And sometimes, you know, Christians have this idea, well, I'm just waiting on God doing this, doing whatever. No, he's not doing, he's done all he's going to do. He is now sat down. And the very last thing that Jesus really did was he just released the blessing of God unto us. He just released the blessing for us to have. Then he goes on here in verse 11 and he says, let us therefore, in other words, because of what Jesus has done, let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest. Be diligent to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And then he goes on, talks about, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Greek word used in verse 11 is Spinoza, and it means to labor. Now, we're talking about rest. So how do we compute labor and rest? Well, it means we've got to work at resting. And it really means to study. The word means study. So it means we study the word in order to enter into the rest that God has made available to us. Because this word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. It says, there is no creature hidden from his sight. Interesting. It's talking about the word, then it's talking about his sight. See, he is the word. Jesus is the word. So no creature is hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. He is the word. So the word discerns between the soul, the spirit, the joints, and the marrow, all of that. So it's the word that we have to deal with. He is the word. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. There's nothing made that was not made without him. Verse 14. Seeing then we have this great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Listen to this. Let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold firmly to our confession. It means to hold on and not let go. Don't let go of speaking the word of God. So what is it we need to say? What is it that we need to confess? I'm going to give you four things. One, two, three, four. Number one, we need to confess the absolute lordship of Jesus. I'm going to say it again. We need to confess the absolute lordship of Jesus. He is Lord over all. You got to think about that for a moment. Because some of you will be going for your hip pocket. Is he Lord over your finances? Is he Lord over your family? Is he Lord over all? Say this with me this morning. I invite Jesus to be Lord.
I invite Jesus to be Lord.
Over every area of my life. Right now. Now you've made a confession. You've made a statement. Let me take you to Philippians chapter 2. And when you get to Philippians chapter 2, put a little piece of paper there because we'll pop in and out of it several times over the next 10 minutes. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Now remember, you have just made this confession. I invite Jesus to be Lord over everything in my life right now. Mm-hmm. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and given him, listen to this, the name which is above every name. Given him the name which is above every name. Now, just stay there for a moment. I'm going to read another reference to you very quickly from the Old Testament. And then I'll come back to that verse again. You don't need to look this one up. I'll just quickly refer you to it. It's in Psalm 138, verse 2. It says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name. God has given him a name which is above every name. Listen to it. For your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all of your name. Now that's telling us back there, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word is Jesus. He is God's word to you and to me. But back here he's saying, you've magnified your word above all of your Old Testament names. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tsidkenu, all those, there's 16, I think, if we go down them all. Normally people read 12, but there's about 16 Old Testament names of God. So he has magnified his word, Jesus, above all of the Old Testament names. And Hebrews tells us that we have a better covenant, which is based on better promises. So we have this word today, that is the name of Jesus. Philippians 2:9 again, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Now let me take you to Ephesians, just back a few pages. We'll come back to Philippians again. I'll read the next verse shortly. But in Ephesians chapter 3, now you're getting some scripture today which is good for you. See, a lot of people don't understand how these all fit together. Say, well, I read the Bible. I read this bit or I read. No, you need to read it in context. First thing you need to do is read what God tells you to read. You don't read it like a storybook. You read what the Holy Spirit directs you to read because that's what he's trying to get to you. We said Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now this is talking about family order, if you like. My name is Campbell. My father's name was Campbell. My grandfather's name was Campbell. Elizabeth's father's name was Gardner. When she chose to accept me as her husband and we got married, she gave up Gardner and became Campbell. My children, Ian, and my two girls, Naomi and the other girl, they were Campbells. Two of them have now been married to other men, and they've changed their name. She's no longer Naomi Campbell. You do know about Naomi Campbell? She was Naomi Campbell before the model was Naomi Campbell. Do you know what I'm saying? So there was a change. Elizabeth changed her name from Gardiner and became Campbell. There's a family order of... See, humanly speaking, we identify usually with the husband. Now, I notice that today, many ladies are so liberated that they retain their single name. Like Kevin Rudd's wife, she's not Mrs. Rudd. She's Mrs. Teresa Rain, etc. And people like that. Now, that's fine, but that's getting out of God's order. God has placed some things in his word. So now let's go back to where were we? Philippians chapter 2. Let me go back there again. There's so much of this. So we read verse 9. God has given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus. What's that next word? Every. Every. E-V-E-R-Y. Every knee should bow. That means every Muslim knee. That means every Anglican knee, every Catholic knee, every Presbyterian knee, every Pentecostal knee, every charismatic knee. Doesn't matter what the background or ethnic background is. It says every knee should bow of those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth. Every knee should bow. There will come a time when every knee will bow, or if they refuse to bow, they get the result of their choice. People who refuse to bow the knee to Jesus end up going where you need asbestos underwear. It's hot down there. All right, so let's read those two verses again. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, Every knee should bow of those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth. So we are confessing the lordship of Jesus over every area of our life. In other words, we're confessing the word of God over every area in our life. Think about this. It says a name that is above every name. The name of Jesus, the word of God, is a greater name than cancer. It's a greater name than diabetes. It's a greater name than cold, flu, arthritis, rheumatism, you name it. Whatever it is, the name of Jesus is greater. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Think about that. But Norman, you don't understand. I have this condition. It's so new, the doctors haven't even named it yet. Okay, that unnamed condition at the name of Jesus will bow at the word of God. Because by the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, the word, you were healed. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We've come to this place where we need to confess the lordship of Jesus, the word of God, over everything in our lives. Some of you need to start and confess his lordship over your finances. And we'll talk about that in a minute or two. Let's go to another one. Stay in Philippians, but keep your place there. Let me read 1 John chapter 3 to you. I'm trying to let you see this morning that there's a way where you need to look at cross-references and check the cross-references to the cross-references. It's not just a matter of reading a verse. Because, you know, the Bible isn't just A, B, C, D. It's a bit like a jigsaw puzzle. You have to check it and check it and recheck it and see where that refers and how that fits in. And you've got to work this all out. That's why the scripture says, work out your own salvation. Where do we say we're going? 1 John chapter 3. Okay, verse 1 and 2. 1 John 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Wow. That word bestowed means conferred, honored. He's blessed us. He's honored us. That we should be called the children of God. I'm looking at the children of God. You may say, well, we're Family Faith Center or we're Anglican, Baptist, whatever it is. But God says, no, you're not, you're children of God. Therefore, that we should be called the children of God, therefore the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Next verse. Then he says, beloved, there's an interesting word now. When is now? Beloved, now are we the children of God. Beloved, now. When's that? Right now. Right now we are the children of God. But listen to this. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Listen to it. But we know when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Beloved, now. When's faith? Okay. Beloved, now by faith we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. You read on the next chapter, you see, as he is, so are we in the world. 1 John 4:17. As he is, how is he? He's well, he's healthy, he's blessed, he's abundantly blessed, super abundantly blessed. I was speaking with Ian before the service today, talking about Keith Moore. How many of you have listened to Keith Moore's CD? We gave it to you. Once? You need to listen to it 25 times. There's a whole series in. There's about 10 in the series. You've only got number one. Over the next few months, you'll be getting the rest of them. But you know, one of the things he talks about, he gives from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, where it talks about finances. One of the things he brings out from another translation is abundance means, listen to this word, surplusage. That's a good word. Surplusage, not just surplus, but surplusage. And he gives the illustration about Jesus feeding the 5,000 men with wives, 5,000, 10, each probably two or three kids, 25, 30,000 people from one little lunch. When they'd all eaten all they needed and were filled, the Bible says, they were able to take up 12 basketfuls. See, God's interested in surplusage. Most of us, we're saying, oh, well, if we get through this week, that'll be good. No, no, no. God's interested in you getting through and taking another dozen with you. He wants you to come to that place where you're in the overabundance, super abundantly, far above all you can ask, think, or even dream about. All right, now where'd we get to? Verse 2. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. Let's read another verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. And it says that every tongue, here we are. Now what have we done this morning? We have confessed that Jesus is Lord over every area of our life. That was your confession. That every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord through the glory of God the Father. When you begin to study the word a little deeper than just, you know, a surface reading, and that's how most Christians just read it. You know, they don't actually study it. They just read a few little verses here and there and think, oh, that's nice, you know. But you have to get down and start. And people who've spent years and years learning Greek and Hebrew and all these languages that the word was originally written in, read what they have to say. In my Bible, it says this little note here. It says, faith's confession. Scholars note that the word confess means to acknowledge openly and joyfully, to celebrate and to give praise. I'm going to read that again because that most of you missed that. I'm going to read. Faith's confession is about exalting Jesus, but this is what it means. Means to acknowledge openly and joyfully and to celebrate and give praise. We acknowledge Jesus as Lord and we're happy about that. That was number one. We've got three more to go. Number two. We need to confess we do not have any care. Say this with me this morning. I am carefree. I will not care. That's your confession today. You're not going to be a person who's worried. Matthew 23. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. Come on, stay with me because this is important for your life and your future and tomorrow and this coming week. You know, we used to have a girl who came to church years ago. Probably Kathy was around in those days. And she was English. She had a little boy, I think, at that time, about 5 or 6 years old. And when the child got sick, she would hear my voice would come into her thinking with my Irish accent and her interpretation of my Irish accent with an English voice saying, I could hear Pastor Norm saying, and she'd be able to quote a scripture. She'd heard me say it in the services. And she'd repeat it to her child, and her child would get well. See, confessing the word of God. Where'd we go? 23? Okay. Matthew 23:12. Interesting verse. Jesus speaking. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Wow. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So if we're trying to promote us individually, if I'm trying to promote Norman, I'm going to be humbled. But if I start promoting Jesus, I'll end up getting promoted. You know what that's what Jesus is saying. If we exalt ourselves, then we'll be humbled. But if we humble ourselves, we'll be exalted. We'll be lifted up. We'll be encouraged. Now, several months ago, I did a study with you on the Psalm 23. We talked about Psalm 23, different aspects of the Lord's shepherding ministry. And you may remember when we talked about that, we said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What a wonderful passage that David wrote there. So because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't have any cares. I'm carefree. If anything happened and I was no longer on the earth, in other words, I'm taken out of this mortal frame, if I lose in this life, I still gain. If I gain in this life, I still gain. So, you know, whether you lose or win, you still win. Some of you don't get that. All right. So I don't have a care. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. Doesn't matter how serious situations get. God's still on the throne. The devil's not in charge of my life. God is. Let's look at another one. We need to get through these. Number 3. We need to confess that we're free from sickness, from disease, from sorrow, from grief, because Jesus bore all of them for us. Yes. He took them and nailed them to the tree. Say this with me this morning. I am the healed, I'm not the sick. I am what God says I am. My body does not rule me. God's word rules my body. I'm well. I'm healed. I'm whole. And I'm strong. In Jesus. Amen. Isaiah 53. You know the verses. Isaiah 53, verse 3, 4, and 5. It says this. Now, again, you have to understand how to read this. See, when Isaiah is writing here, remember, he's before Calvary. He's looking down the corridor of time, and he's looking at Calvary from a prophet's eye perspective. In other words, here he is. He sees through time, and he sees Jesus going to Calvary. And what he's saying, he is despised and rejected of men. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He's looking to Calvary. But if you go to the other end of the Bible and see what Peter says, he's looking back at Calvary. And Peter says, by his stripes we were healed. So one is looking forward to it, the other is looking back at it. And right there in the middle at Calvary, Jesus took it all and bore it for us. So our confession is this morning, we're well, we're healed, we're whole, we're strong. Sickness does not rule over us. Don't let sickness come on your body. When it tries to come in and say, no thanks, I won't bother. You know, the devil may come around and say, well, I've got a good special going this week. Say, okay, special somewhere else. Don't come to my house. All right, so that was number what? Number three. Number four. Let's finish on this one. It's just a quarter to. We're okay. We need to confess we are financially sound and blessed to be a blessing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Now, that was something that God put in the heart of Paul to put into his letter to the Corinthians so you could read it. So God is telling us, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word grace. See, it's the grace of God that enables you to become blessed abundantly financially. Grace, listen to it. Here's another one for you, Russell. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Say it again. God's riches at Christ's expense. So Paul is talking about finances, and it's there for our sakes. And what he's talking about here is that we are to share with each other, that we're to meet each other's need. Sharing and meeting each other's needs is what he's trying to get through here. And he's saying that Jesus, though he was rich, he shared everything with you and with me. He became poor that we could be blessed financially and become wealthy or rich through his giving. He said, here's a principle. Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. I see a lot of people are waiting on the windows of heaven opening up and, you know, $10 bills falling or $100 bills, whichever ones you like. It's not going to happen. God doesn't have anything in heaven for you other than his grace. He's already given that to you. He's not going to send down dollar bills or $100 bills. If he sent down any finance from heaven, it would be counterfeit. You mean God would make counterfeit? No, he has no choice. He's tied into the law. And the law says the only legal tender in Australia is made in Australia. So if it's made in heaven, it's not right. Some of you are looking at me. Man, I've had some talks with people about this. They say, oh, God put money in my wallet. God put money in this envelope. God didn't do that. You put it in your wallet. You put it in the envelope. Somebody else did it. God didn't do it. He hasn't got any. He will move on somebody to give it to you, but he won't do it. Turn your page to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Man, you really need to listen to these CDs by Keith Moore over the next few months as you get them. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound. Look at that. Abound grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Abounding. God is able to make all grace abound towards you that you always. There's a good word. Always. Occasionally. No, always. Having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Then he goes on and says, he has dispersed abroad. He's given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now listen to this now. May he, that's God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. That bears a little explanation. God supplies seed to sowers. If you're not a sower, he won't give you seed. He will give you bread. He'll not see you starve, but he won't give you seed. Seed is for sowing. Seed is not for eating. Seed is for sowing. So it says, listen to it again. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown. The only harvest comes from the seed that you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Oral Roberts did a great teaching on this long, long time ago. He called it seed faith. If you've never read it or got a hold of the book, it'll benefit you to do that. Seed faith, all about how the seed system works. You need to read up on it. Listen, let me read that to you again. Having all sufficiency. The word sufficiency means being content and totally satisfied. God is giving us all sufficiency that we might be content and totally satisfied. Let's have this last confession. We haven't done one for this yet. Say this with me. I am not the poor. Trying to get rich. I am the rich. The devil's trying to make me believe I'm poor. I refuse to believe the devil. I take God's word. I'm blessed abundantly. I'm rich in Christ. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
All right. Now let me just say this as we close, because our time's gone. Now that you've got your confessions right, don't change them when you go out there and have a cup of tea. Oh, man, I tell you. The things that I hear once you go out the door. See, it's a different world out there. They say that's the real. No, it's not. That's the make-believe. This is the real stuff. This is the joke. This is what it's about. Can you take all that today? That doesn't upset you? Praise the Lord. We love you. Thanks, Russell. Come finish off for us. Thank you.